never thought I'd ever see the day that something was just revealed to me about this company. Never thought I'd ever see the day down here when it was a joke and a bullshit. I bet the price would come.
My, we're pretty thirsty.
You know what's in here? I'm not even going to open to see. I think you could use a laugh. I'll tell you what, we need to laugh a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. Look, we got a young man that's going to come preach to us this morning. And boy, I'm around him, the more I love him. And I know all these people love him over there at Sharp Memorial. And Brother Nate is a good friend of mine. And I enjoy being around him. Ask him to come and preach to us this morning. Brother Nate, come and give us what the Lord has got on his heart. Good morning.
Morning. Amen.
Cold this morning.
Cold.
I never thought I'd say that, but I had to walk outside a minute ago so I could feel my feet.
What?
I'm not complaining.
You set up in the front.
But if you have your Bibles, flip with me to the book of Ezra, chapter 3. Now, I guess I'm going to preface this statement about this message. This is meant to encourage. Alright, as we were going through Ezra a couple months ago in our Wednesday night Bible study, this section in chapter 3 of Ezra has stuck with me and stuck with me and stuck with me. So it kind of beat me up, but it also led me to the point where I needed to realize some things. And how many of you have ever heard that expression or heard that saying, well, let's do it that way because we've always done it that way? How many of you heard that? How many of you like that statement? Anybody like it? Be honest right now, we're in church. Mark Williams says he likes it. We wonder about him sometimes. But, you know, just to kind of illustrate that point, I took over a football program like that had been in existence for 7 years last year. They had never had a winning season. I'm not a great coach. I'm going to be honest. I have great players. I get the best out of my players. Our motto is we're going to work harder than anybody else. We're going to work harder than anybody else. We may not be the most talented. We may not be the most athletic. But we're going to work hard. And one of the first things I did is implement a weightlifting conditioning program. And I had some parents say, we've never done that before. I said, well, guess what? We're going to start doing it this way. Because of that, we went 6-4, made the playoffs for the first time in school history. Now, we got demolished in the first round of the playoffs, but we did make the playoffs. So Bear Bryant said this to his mom. His mom always wanted him to be a preacher. And when Bear Bryant finally got old enough, he told his mom, he said, Mama, preaching and coaching are a lot alike. And the more and more I do both, the more and more I agree with that statement. Instead of building a team that's going to try and win trophies that one day are going to fade and corrode, we're trying to build a team that honors and glorifies God and that is winning souls for God's kingdom. That's what we're doing. We're a team. We've got to be unified. We see here in Ezra chapter 3, we're going to probably read verses 10 through 12. There's four things I want to bring out, but to get you where we are, we got to remember that 70 years before this point, Jerusalem, the temple, was utterly destroyed. You can go back to the last chapter in 2 Chronicles and read that, where the Babylonians came in and completely destroyed Jerusalem, completely destroyed the city, the wall, the temple. They looted everything, all the gold, all the jewels, everything was totally destroyed. It was punishment, it was consequences for what Israel had done, what the Jews, or Israel, the nation of Israel, had turned from God, and God had told them. The prophets had continually warned them and warned them and warned them to turn back to God. They wouldn't do it, so now was the consequence. They were taken captive. They were led into foreign lands. Many of them were killed, but there was a group that returns here in Ezra. And the sole purpose for them to return was to see that the temple of God would be rebuilt, reestablished, and that worship could take place. Read with me in verse 10 of Ezra chapter 3. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, They set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, the cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid, before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard. Let's pray. Father, again, as we just come into your house, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for being who you are, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for us, even though we didn't deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us here at this conference. Lord, that you would continue to lead and guide and direct our steps as ministers, as delegates, Lord, as humble servants of your denomination, Lord. Father, just lead and guide us today. Let the reading of your word just fill our hearts and minds. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
So we see in the first verse 10 and verse 11, we see that the foundation was laid. And I want to relate this to the Methodist Protestant. If I walk off, can y'all hear me? Because I like to walk. Can y'all hear me?
I
like to walk. I'm sorry. I guess it's a nervous tick. But we see in the verses 10 and 11, we see that their desire was to hold worship, but they had to lay the foundation. And what I want to do is relate this to the Methodist Protestant Church. As many of you know, none of you have tomatoes right now, do you? I am from Alabama. Some of y'all got this. Brother Mark put it this way last night. He finally got saved. He got into the Mississippi Conference. I've seen the trouble from Alabama Conference to the Mississippi Conference. And I'm not going to elaborate because everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, my question, my concern is something obviously is not right. You know, not that we've done anything wrong, but what is God trying to tell us? What is God trying to show us? You know, what does God want us to do? But before we can answer that, we've got to lay the foundation. We've got to see what the foundation means. There's two things, two key ingredients to any foundation of any denomination of any church that have got to be prevalent and got to be present. The first is without Jesus, it doesn't matter what we do, it's not going to be successful. It's not going to be right. It's not going to work. We as Methodist Protestant, we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. We're going to give everybody that comes into this tabernacle, that comes on these campgrounds, that comes in our church, we're going to let them know who Jesus is. That's number one. Number two is holiness. Carlos stole a little bit of my thunder last night, and I'm not going to elaborate. He did a great job. I agree with everything he said. The second is holiness. That's the two things that we as Methodist Protestants have got to do. We've got to preach Jesus, and we've got to preach our holiness. We've got to do it. That is our foundation. That's what we're known for. That's what we've got to get back to. Now look with me again as we get into verse 12, because this is where it gets hard. Not for me, because there again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But look at these words here. Remember, this was their temple that they worshiped God with. And now look at what it is. Look at verse 12 again. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid, before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. There was a group that had been through the captivity, had seen the walls destroyed, had seen the temple plunder, had seen the Babylonian armies come in and just destroy the city. They were led into captivity, they returned, and they may even be standing on the very ground right there in Ezra chapter 10, in the same spot where they saw Solomon build the temple. To put it into context, the glory of Solomon's temple, if we were to put a monetary value on it in today's terms, you know what that money would be? Anybody just want to take a guess? Be honest, and Ms. Mary, if you can't answer, you've already heard this. It's a may take a guess at the monetary value that temple would be worth.
$5 million.
Between $5 and $8 million. That is the glory that Solomon put into that temple. Now we see a group of ancient men. I'm not going to call them old, but that they were ancient men. They had been there before. They had seen Solomon's temple in all its glory. Everything that was put into it, the cedar planks, the gold, the beautiful jewels, and everything that was put in that temple. And it says they were there, they were looking at this new foundation that was built, and it says they wept. They wept with a loud voice. I said I was from Alabama. I'm a huge Alabama fan. You know what they say about Alabama fans, especially if you're an Auburn fan, right? Alabama fans are the only fan base that can live on a dead bear for 25 years. I can't say that anymore because now we've got little Saban over there, so we're But I say that to say this. I was also a Marine, and one thing that the Marines, and I'll use this word, pride themselves on is our history and our tradition. Once a Marine, always a Marine, and we're proud to be the first in and the last out. We're proud to be able to do more with less. The other thing that we say as Marines, we adapt and overcome. No matter the situation, no matter what we're in, we adapt and overcome. Methodist Protestants, we have a proud history. We have a proud tradition. God has blessed us with a lot of things. And we need to be proud of those things. We need to honor those things. But when those things become and begin to hinder God's work, it's a time we need to stop and think. Go back to my first statement. We're doing it because we've always done it. Let's think about that for a minute. Ladies, how many of you want to give up your dishwashers or even your, and I say ladies, I should say that, I kind of sound sexist, but I'm not. You want to give up your dishwashers and your laundry machine? Anybody want to go back to the tubs and the washboards and wash clothes? Guys, how many of us want to give up our F-150s and our big trucks, even though I have a small Prius? I still am a truck man at heart. How many of us want to give up our trucks and go back to horse-drawn carriages? That's the way they always did it. What about Jesus' time, even here? How many of you want to go back to walking boots? Mary tried to give me a running plan, and I told her there was no way. I was running from the bed to the shower. That was as far as I was going. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? Let's be proud. Let's honor our heritage. Let's honor our tradition. Many of you can remember the glory days of the Methodist Protestant. I can remember back in Alabama, most of the preachers I grew up with, looked up to, are no longer there. I see here, even today, some of the preachers that were here 4 years ago aren't here. Some of the churches we had in Alabama are no longer there. Some of the churches here in Mississippi are no longer there. We can weep with a bitter heart. We can weep because we remember the glory that the Methodist Protestant Church had. I want us to think. I want us to search our hearts. I want us to be honest. What is it we can do to return the glory that God has given the Methodist Protestant Church back to its former days? It's not going to be doing the same thing we've always done. Now, mind you, I'm not telling you that we're taking the Bible out of it, because that's not the answer. I've already said we've got to keep preaching Jesus, and we've got to keep preaching heart holiness. But what we've got to do is we've got to be honest with ourselves, we've got to be honest with each other. Pastors, we've got to come together. We've got to be unified. We've got to sit down and talk about the things that really, really matter. Face to face and discuss them. Are we going to agree? Absolutely not. But guess what we can do? We can encourage each other. We can get ideas. I love to coach. Like I said, I'm not the best coach. But what I do is I go to coaching clinics all the time, all over the country. I'll even go listen to an Auburn coach. Might even listen to a Mississippi coach every now and then. But I learn something every time I go. Brother Billy called me young. I appreciate that. I don't feel young sometimes. But I feel like I can learn from some of you older, as scripture says patient men.
Preach it.
Given the opportunity, he doesn't come together as a small. Not only the pastors, but also the church leaders. Because if you're following your pastor, you're following the wrong person. If you're at church because of the preacher, you're there for the wrong reason. It's not about us, folks.
Amen.
It's not about us.
Preach it.
You need to be there for Jesus. Amen. You need to be there because the church believes in heart holiness, not the pastor. So not only the pastors need to come together, the delegates, the leaders of the church need to come together. We need to address issues that have affected not just the Mississippi Conference, but the entire denomination. One heart, one mind, and my favorite joke, just like in the book of Acts, they were in one accord, and we're not talking about a Honda. Very rude from his doctor telling me to quit. I've said that enough. My wife's back here doing this. We've been in the book of Acts on Sunday morning, and they've heard that a bunch of times. But we've got to become one accord. We've got to start talking to each other and encouraging each other. Figure out what the problem is. It's kind of like the pink elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. It's time we talk about that pink elephant.
Amen.
It's time we come together, we unify, and we see God's glory restored. The Methodist Protestant Church.
Amen.
By any means is it dead? Absolutely not. There's still life. There's still life. But what are we going to do? We can sit idly by and we can wait for it to eventually die, or we can do something about it.
Amen.
Like I said in the Marines, we do more with less. We're at that spot where we're less than we've ever been. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? We see there, though, that the ancient men weep because they could look and see the glory. And it was bittersweet. They weren't weeping because they were mad, because it wasn't the same. They were weeping because they remembered how grand it was. And some of you can remember how grand this conference used to be. I don't want you to start crying because I'll start crying. I'm an emotional guy. Just ask my wife. I cry at Home Improvement. So it just makes me joyous to see them. But not only that, we see another generation. We see another group. That last part of verse 12 says what? And many shouted aloud for joy. There was another group there. There was a group that had been born in captivity, had been born away from Jerusalem. They get back to this area, get back to the temple, get back to where they want to begin to worship God. And they're just screaming, hollering, worshiping, joyful, because they're just glad to have a place to worship. You want to see a place that's glad to worship? Come back July 8th through what's the date? 13th. And you'll see a group that doesn't remember the glory of the Methodist Protestant, but is glad to be here.
Amen.
Glad to be here. Worshiping, praising, singing, coming before the altar and kneeling and asking for forgiveness, asking for help.
Amen.
They're happy to be here. But it's our job as the ancient men, as the older generation, to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about heart holiness.
Amen.
Because I promise you, if we do not teach them, someone else is teaching them something else they don't need to
know. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God help us.
We want to see the Methodist Protestant be restored to its former glory. That generation that's going to be here in a couple weeks, we've got to do everything we can to keep them, to teach them, and to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 28?
Preach
it. His last command to his disciples? It was. Not only that, but look in verse 13 what it says again. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. There was that group, the ancient men that were weeping, and it was a bittersweet weeping. Then there was that group that didn't know any better, and they were shouting, and there was a loud noise, a great noise. Look at the rest of that verse. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was a heard afar off.
Amen.
What's our noise saying? Is it a noise where there's a separation between the elder and the younger? Or is it a unified, one accord sound that people can't distinguish other than they know that there's a group of people there that love God, that love Jesus Christ, that are preaching heart holiness, and that are shouting for joy?
Amen.
Where's our unification at? Where's our shout? Where's our noise? What are we saying? What are we saying as Methodist Protestants?
Amen.
Stop the division. Let's unify. Let's come together. Let's teach and preach Jesus with heart holiness.
Amen.
That's what God wants us to do. I see this and it breaks my heart. But I also read this and I'm very, very much encouraged. Because it's possible. It's possible to restore what once was. You can go through the entire book of Ezra into Nehemiah and you're going to see where they rebuild the wall. They rebuild the temple. They begin to hold worship. God's people come together and they make a difference. Folks, that's what we can do here. We can come together, we can unify, we can make a difference. It starts with the preachers coming together. It starts with the delegates, the leaders of the church, coming together. We're not going to grow as a denomination until we grow as pastors. Church members, you're not going to grow as a church until you grow as individuals. When we grow as individuals, then we can grow as a denomination.
Amen.
It starts with us not retreating, but regrouping, regathering, reorganizing, and going forward. Pray with me this morning. Father, I love you. I thank you. I pray. Lord, I do just thank you for this denomination, for these people that are here, Lord. I know they love you with all their hearts, Lord, as I do. Father, I pray that you would just again, Lord, break our hearts, Lord. Let us see and sense the need, Lord, to get out, Lord, to regroup, to regather, and to go forward. Lord, let us be the people, the pastors that you need us to be in the pulpit. Lord, the people that we need in our churches to reach the communities that we live in. Lord, to change the hearts and minds of those, Lord, that are seeking, that are sin-sick, and that are lost. Lord, give us the wisdom to do that, Lord. Give us the guidance to do that. Lord, I just right now especially pray for Brother Billy, Lord, the president of our conference.
Yeah.
That, Lord, you would touch him and that you would anoint him. Lord, that you would give him a vision for our denomination. That you give them a vision for our conference, Lord, that we can go forward, that we can be the denomination that you need us to be, Lord. And Father God, we just would love you and honor and glorify you in everything that we say and do. We love you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we ask. And all God's children said it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.